Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. Peter Loback, who is the founder of the Providence Forum. And in a previous discussion, which I'll link to, he and I were discussing the history of the Liberty Bell. But we didn't have time to finish it, so we're going to, Lord willing, finish it right now during this particular portion, including a fascinating story about how Dr. Loback actually had his organization, Providence Forum, create a replica of the Liberty Bell, which I understand is at the Museum of the Bible now. Dr. Loback, welcome back to the program.
Jerry, thank you for having me, and thanks for letting me talk about one of my favorite subjects, the Liberty Bell.
Yeah, and I understand from what you were saying in the previous times that one of our most substantial Supreme Court Chief Justices, John Marshall, who, by the way, was a devout Episcopalian. I remember some great quotes he had about the importance of the Bible in justice matters and so forth. And so anyway, so when he was dead and they had his funeral, as they rang the bell, the Liberty Bell, for it. And by the way, at that time it was just known as the bell. Independence Hall. Pardon me?
The State House Bell.
Was it in Harrisburg or was it in Philadelphia?
No, Harrisburg didn't. It was Pennsylvania. Its capital at that time was still Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
National capital, the state capital, both shared at the same time at that period of time.
Okay, and so as the bell was ringing for his funeral, it cracked, and it cracked in such a way that they realized, okay, this might not be able to be fixed, but we still want to hang on to this icon. So let's pick it up from there. But I do have one loose end question based on something you said in the previous segment. And that is, you were saying that they chose to ring this bell after the adoption of the Declaration of Independence. And do you mean that they did that in Philadelphia in 1776, at a time when Great Britain was still, you know, the war had begun for all practical purposes, right? April 19th, 1775, the year before. So did they ring that bell in Philadelphia?
Yes, they did.
In July?
The bell.
1776.
So let's keep the history in mind. It was ordered on the 50th anniversary of William Penn's Charter of Privileges that establishes religious liberty. And that's where the Liberty Bell quote from Leviticus 25:10 comes from, the Jubilee year. Then 25 years later, from 1751 to now 1776, July 8th, they will ring the Liberty Bell as they read the Declaration of Independence. They celebrate. It was read publicly for the first time there. It'll be whisked out with the invasion of Philadelphia by the British. It will be brought back. And as you say, it'll crack now the second time with the ringing of the funeral of John Marshall. That's when it's drilled out and repaired. They'll continue to use it. But then some years later, they'll be ringing it for Washington's birthday, and that's when it cracks irreparably, and the crack goes right through the word liberty. Mm. This is when the bell is taken down, and they're thinking, okay, this bell is cracked now for the third time. It's not repairable. What are we going to do with it? It's at this point in time, then, that a new movement has begun to take form in America called the abolitionists. The abolitionists are committing to ending slavery in America, and they were the ones that remembered that old bell that said, proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof. And they said, that old State House bell is the bell of liberty. It's the call for liberty for all the inhabitants to end slavery. And the abolitionists then gave it officially the name the Liberty Bell and began to use it as the icon calling America to end slavery. So that is where the bell now takes on a whole new national significance, and it will become an icon from that point on as it travels at the end of the Civil War across the country. It goes all the way to California. It will be rung on the national news with the D-Day invasion. It's not a bell that rings well because of the crack in it, but they wanted to symbolize the sound of liberty. It will become a place where Martin Luther King Jr. will come and recognize this is a symbol of the freedom that he's looking for the civil rights movement. And other great figures through history who have been persecuted have come to the bell and recognized the yearning of the heart to be free. I like to say the Liberty Bell is utterly silent, suspended over a crack, and the only way it is preserved and heard is when men and women who are committed to real liberty, the liberty of conscience, stand fast for that freedom and protect it and sound it out. We are the sound of the bell as we live it. But now, summarize all of this. This is where I see the remarkable providence of God in this. Number one, William Penn established religious liberty based upon the golden rule of Jesus, Matthew 7:12. He took the name of his city, Philadelphia, from Revelation chapter 3. He wanted religious liberty to be here. 50 years later, they order the bell. So now the bell is commemorating, if you will, liberty of conscience or religious liberty, and they tie it in to biblical liberty, the Jubilee, the Bible's gift of liberty. And then on July 8, 1776, it becomes a symbol of national liberty when the nation now declares itself to be free. And then several years later, after the bell is finally set aside as a broken relic of the past, the abolitionists find it and claim it, and it now becomes a symbol, if you will, of civil rights liberty. Four different liberties are all identified: religious liberty, biblical liberty, we have national liberty, and civil rights liberty. Who could have ever imagined that when they chose the verse that it becomes the great symbol of liberty, all flowing from the Bible and the American story? So now, when you have all that coming together, we realized as the Providence Forum that grew out of Philadelphia that we would love to have the bell rung again to celebrate when George W. Bush was going to come to Philadelphia with the whole process of the faith-based liberty program that he wanted to honor and launch under his administration. And so the idea was, I wonder if we could arrange to have the Liberty Bell rung by President Bush. And one of my business friends said, forget about ringing the old Liberty Bell. Why don't you just make a new one? I laughed and said, oh, that's a crazy idea. He said, no, I'm serious. And I said, okay, I'll see what happens. So at that point, I did some research, and I took a wild guess to make a phone call to the Whitechapel Foundry in London. I knew they'd made the first one, and I asked information, do they exist? They said, oh, yes. They've been in business for hundreds of years. They're still here. So I called up on a fluke the Whitechapel Foundry in London, and I talked to them, and I said, I'm with the Providence Forum in Philadelphia. We are going to be celebrating the 300th anniversary of William Penn's Charter of Privileges that establishes the liberty of conscience in Philadelphia, for which the Liberty Bell was cast 50 years afterwards. And so I would like to make a new Liberty Bell. Is that possible? And the man on the other side said, well, of course, we made the first one. Of course, you Yankees broke it, but we can make another one. I said, well, that's great. So now it was becoming possible. The next question was, well, how soon can you have it made? Because I'm calling in the spring, and the celebration anniversary is going to fall on a Sunday in September of that year. And he said, well, yes, that is possible to get it made and across the Atlantic in time, but you're going to have to order it in the next 2 or 3 weeks to get in production schedule and on time. I said, oh, wow, I've got 2 or 3 weeks. Then the next question, obviously, is how much will it cost? And he said, well, I think we could get it shipped there and made from scratch for about $25,000. And I said, okay, that's a lot of money. Remember, this is several years ago in the early 1990s, and or late 1990s, I should say. It would have been the anniversary. It would have been 2001, the 300th anniversary of Penn's charters. So then what I had to do was to ask the question, where would I raise that money? I'm a poor preacher in more than one way. Not only do I preach bad sermons, I don't have any money to give to that kind. And so I asked, how much money do I need to have to make this possible? And he said, well, you need to make an immediate commitment of 25% down. So I did a quick calculation. 25,000 divided by 4 is about, what, 7,000 or thereabouts, a little bit less. And I said, okay, I'll let you know in the next 2 or 3 weeks. There's nobody I could talk to. except my Bible study. I'd been doing a Bible study for years, and so I told the guys, listen, I have an opportunity to order a Liberty Bell that can be here for the 300th anniversary of Penn's charter. It'll be made in the very same place. It will be with the words that's on the original. It'll have the scratch, or it'll be etched in the crack. It won't be really cracked. You can really ring it, and it will become an important symbol of our freedom and our faith and our tradition. And I said, what I'm going to do, I've never done this before, I'm going to pass a hat around. I'm going to ask you to take a piece of paper, make a commitment, and if I don't get enough to get my 25% down, I know this is not of the Lord. So we passed the hat after praying, and I opened up the pieces, and it totaled exactly $7,600. Well, I figured I need to get at least $7,000, and it was over that. And then I thought, 7,600, 76 is a magic number for the Liberty Bell and for Philadelphia. The Lord has to be in this. So a little numerology that I don't know if it was all that biblical or not, but that gave me the confidence to go forward. So we made the order, and sure enough, the bell made it precisely to America about a month beforehand. But during this time now, I've got a bell coming. It's coming to Proclamation Church, where I was pastoring, where we are going to celebrate this anniversary of William Penn's charter. And I realized the bell needs to have a yoke. It needs to have wood at the top. It needs to be put on a stand so that you can hold it and ring it. That had to be constructed. And so I started praying, Lord, how in the world am I going to get some historic tree just when I need it to make this bell really be significant? Well, lo and behold, wouldn't you know, out of the blue, I got a call from a young arborist in the state of Maryland by the name of Mark, who said, Dr. Lilback, your name has been given to me as someone who is a patriotic fanatic, and I think I should talk to you because I have the wood of the last Liberty Tree. I was dumbfounded because two things. One, I had no idea what a Liberty Tree was at that time. And the fact that he called me about wood of a tree of historic significance was amazing. He proceeded to tell me that this came down in the hurricane of 1999 in Annapolis, Maryland. It was under this massive tree that the Sons of Liberty in Maryland had read the Declaration of Independence. It's under this tree that Francis Scott Key went to school at St. John's College, right across from the Annapolis Naval College. And it had been taken down, thrown into a landfill. He'd rescued it. And so once I heard the story, I said, is there enough wood for me to make a nice brace for a bell to hang from, a yoke, as they call it? He said, absolutely. Well, to make a long story short, that Liberty Tree wood is now the yoke on the Liberty Bell that has crossed the country. It's been all the way to California, to Marsh Air Force Base. It's been to Waldorf Astoria in New York. It's been down to the Super Bowl in Florida. It was at a major Restoring Love program of Glenn Beck in the Dallas Stadium. It's been all over, and now it has been given to the Museum of the Bible as a permanent gift, and it's exhibit number one, because as they were making the building, they had to take it with a crane and bring it all the way through the top to drop it in. It couldn't get through the front door and up the elevator. So that made national news as they were telling the story of the Museum of the Bible is opening, and replica, or the Liberty Bell replica, the Spirit of Liberty Bell, is our first exhibit. So when you go to the Museum of the Bible in Washington and you go to the third floor, part of the exhibit is the Liberty Bell that we've provided for them. And when we were looking for a place to give the bell a home, when we realized it was getting too hard to crisscross the country, which was done by one of the delivery services. They did it for free for 2 or 3 years just as a gift to the country.
Wow.
We were now looking for a permanent home.
10 seconds.
And they told us, we've been looking for a bell. We've been praying. We're trying to figure it out. And lo and behold, you called us just when we were wondering, how are we going to get a Liberty Bell, because we knew the inscription. So it was an answer to prayer, and it's found its permanent home.
Wow, that's fantastic. All right, too bad we're out of time. Thank you so much, providenceforum.org, for more information. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Jerry.